1972, Joey Gallo killed in Little Italy during dinner at Umberto's Clam House.
An hour from now, be it tonight, or 100 years from now, I'm in jail. I mean, I was
They get there by violence, and often as not, they leave by violence.
Between $3 and $5 million in cash and valuables was taken from the Lufthansa cargo terminal out at Kennedy Airport.
I can give you guys $500,000 a year without a problem.
New York City is a war zone for mobsters and their targets.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Black Hand, an organized crime history podcast. I'm your host, Bliss Grieve, and today on episode 29, we're going to be talking about the history of the Black Disciples Street Gang. And even though the BDs weren't the first gang in Chicago, nor the most powerful, they did play the most active role in shaping what the streets of the city look like today, and were able to survive and lead an interesting existence for the past 65 years. But without further ado, let's get right into the episode. To talk about the complete history of the Black Disciples Street Gang, we have to go back to 1958 in the Chicago communities of the impoverished northern half of the Hyde Park neighborhood, the impoverished southern Kenwood area, and in the Englewood neighborhood. In Hyde Park and Kenwood, wealthier greaser youths regularly bullied their black counterparts. Hyde Park had always enforced restrictive racial covenants in the earlier times, but in the late 40s it was deemed unconstitutional, therefore black families began to move into the older northern section of the Hyde Park neighborhood. By the late 50s, African Americans were moving into this area in southern Kenwood at a higher rate as the area became more affordable for lower income families. In Englewood, black families began moving in at a very high rate, drawing many Italian families' resentment, and soon bullying ensued. There were also white and black gangs from outside Englewood, Hyde Park, and Kenwood that invaded and bullied these youths. The creation of the Dan Ryan Expressway system that year was a contributing factor in forcing many black families out of their communities and into white neighborhoods like Englewood. Englewood was an affordable option for lower income black families, making this an ideal neighborhood for settlement. So in 1958, some of the bullied youths from Kenwood, Hyde Park, and Englewood got together as friends and decided to create a club that would fight against all these enemies they had. These boys were only 11 to 13 years old in age, and they all sat down to figure out the name of this organization. They decided to flip through the Holy Bible to get ideas, and that's when it dawned on them to use the name Disciple in their title. The boys then added on the prefix Devils to give the name an intimidating edge to it. After that was decided, the Disciples spontaneously began occupying 43rd Street in Kenwood as well as throughout Englewood between 56th and 67th Street. And although the Disciples started in Englewood from 56 to 67th, their original Englewood set in their Englewood motherland is 63rd and Stewart, which is where it all began in the neighborhood. A disciples group known as the Eastside Disciples was the group that started at 43rd and spread all the way south into Hyde Park to 53rd and Kimbark. So 53rd and Kimbark became the Eastside Disciples' headquarters and basically the headquarters for all citywide disciples. However, the Englewood Disciples still continued to gather at 63rd and Stewart. Some founding members of the gang included Richard Strong, David Barksdale, Mingo Shred, Leonard Longstreet, and various others. The Disciples had no central leader in their earliest days and they kept their business out of the press. But almost as soon as they were formed, they became embroiled in gang conflicts. The first archenemy of the Disciples was the Sons of Italy, which was a white gang of greasers in Englewood as well as one of the most powerful Southside greaser gangs. To the neighborhood changing from white to black and would take their frustrations out on black youths. Disciples also fought with other black gangs in Englewood like the Egyptian Cobras that moved into the neighborhood from Fuller Park in 1958. Then in 1959, the Disciples made their first expansion move as they settled in the western part of the Woodlawn community west of Woodlawn Avenue as they cover about two-thirds of the Woodlawn neighborhood. The other one-third was Egyptian Cobra territory. Despite that, the Disciples would make the neighborhood theirs permanently as they have maintained a heavy presence there over the decades. Also in 1959, black families began to settle in the South Shore community for the first time, a neighborhood that was known to have some anti-black and Jewish sentiment since the 19th century. When black newcomers first arrived, they were met with hostility from white gangs, so the Devil's Disciples migrated to this community to support the black community in their racial struggles. They also expanded further in the Greater Grand Crossing and Washington Park neighborhoods in 1959. Both neighborhoods were heavy in poverty and blight and home to many impoverished families, so the Disciples arrived to support the struggling black communities. In these communities, Disciples patrolled the streets and worked to eliminate criminal groups and wild gangs, taking on a guardian role that Disciples would carry in other communities in later years. Both communities have been heavily coveted for decades and are still strongholds for Disciples. By 1961, the Devil's Disciples were the most powerful gang in Englewood, and the Italian greaser gangs were fighting that losing war against the Disciples, and by this time, the Italian gangs had left Englewood. Also in 1961, a 14-year-old charter member of the gang named David Barksdale took over leadership of the Disciples and he directly oversaw the Englewood branch. He then appointed another founding member named Mingo Shred as president of the gang in Hyde Park in Kenwood that became known as the Eastside Disciples. The Hyde Park Kenwood neighborhood was at its peak around when Barksdale took over as they had members from 43rd down to 53rd between the two neighborhoods. But starting in 1960, the University of Chicago backed a program to renovate Southern Kenwood and Northern Hyde Park by clearing out blighted buildings and renovating some of the older and salvageable homes. This action was meant to increase the value of these neighborhoods and push impoverished black families out, causing most of these families to move to Englewood. As the families began moving in the 1960s, the Disciples grew stronger in Englewood, and gradually a new headquarters was set up at 63rd and Stewart. As the families began moving in the 1950s, the Disciples grew stronger in Englewood, and gradually a new headquarters was set up at 63rd and Stewart in 1963, because many homes were raised at 53rd and Kimbark and Hyde Park, and the Kimbark Shopping Plaza was built over half of the former Disciples headquarters. The Disciples from 43rd down to 53rd moved to Englewood by 1963, further solidifying Englewood, which is how GDs and BDs are so big in the neighborhood even up to the present day. In the same year that David Barksdale took over, a Disciples founding member named Richard Strong and his family moved into the Cabrini Green housing projects that was mostly ran by various small gangs and the Egyptian Cobras. Strong developed quite a following in no time and recruited several black youths into his gang, the Black Deuces, which was the gang he created in Cabrini, but they were tied to the Devil's Disciples, which is how the Disciples became a large presence in the Cabrini Green area until the projects were torn down. Then in 1969, the Disciples spread their influence further 79th Street as they landed in the Auburn Gresham, Chatham, Calumet Heights, Burnside, and Roseland neighborhoods, with the Roseland community being the center of this settlement. Roseland, Auburn Gresham, and Calumet Heights were struggling with uneasy racial tension, and there was often violent conflict with white and black citizens, so the Disciples came to the aid of the black community during these struggles, and with the settlement of Roseland came the legacy of the Wild 100s, BDs, and GDs. These neighborhoods would become major strongholds for the Disciples for decades to come up to present day, and it all began back in 1964. Within a short amount of time, the Disciples ended up clashing with the Blackstone Rangers that were settling in most of these communities the same year. The Disciples also spread into the south suburbs in the Harvey, Dixmoor, Phoenix, Chicago Heights, Robbins, and Ford Heights communities for the same reasons as on the further south side, to deal with racial conflicts that ended up turning into more of a rivalry with the Blackstone Rangers that were settling in these communities as well. Despite that, the Disciples would become permanent residents of these suburbs up to present day. The Devil's Disciples were the largest gang on the south side by 1965, so before and even after the Blackstone Rangers started, the Rangers weren't as large. They only appeared larger because they were more outspoken to media outlets. Then in January 1966, the Disciples began recruiting gangs more instead of just focusing on individuals. He wanted these gangs to all call themselves Disciples while still maintaining their original names. An example is when the Gonzados became the Gonzado Disciples when they agreed to be part of the Disciple Alliance. The coalition expanded boundaries beyond the Bronzeville area, and this put the Disciples in the Ida B. Wells, Clarence Darrow, Wentworth Gardens, and Stateway Gardens projects, as well as heavily on the streets of Grand Boulevard and Douglas communities. Older gangs from these communities flipped to Disciples or attached their gangs to the Disciples' name. In the near south side, the Disciples moved into the Harold X projects, but this massive expansion gained little notoriety due to the Disciples keeping their activity low-key, therefore you don't read much about it in the history books. What you will read about, though, is how their rival, the Black Peace Donation, spread all over the place after the nation was created in 1966 to have their own alliance. Then, in May of 1968, the Disciples and Black Peace Stone squashed their rivalry, but this truce would only last a few days, eventually becoming null and void on May 8th. Because on that day, David Barksdale was out and about around 65th and Ellis in the Woodlawn neighborhood when detectives showed up to talk to him. Barksdale told the cops that the Ellis Rebel Stones, the only stone group in West Woodlawn, was out to kill him. To prove his point, he did a test and led the cops to the end of an alley, and sure enough, the Stones opened fire and shot at David. The Stones were then arrested, but this also ended the peace treaty. However, the same year, the Disciples would have an entirely different war to worry about as the conflict arose between the BDs and Supreme Gangsters' allied gangs, especially the Supreme Gangsters themselves. At which point, a charter member of the Supreme Gangsters named Larry Hoover became the target for several assassination attempts. He was shot on two occasions, then on September 4th, 1968, a third attempt was made on him. On that day, Englewood was on high alert as Disciples, Gangsters, and Stones were picking up guns and ready to shoot each other. At Parker High School, members of the Supreme Gangsters and Disciples were especially ready to get into beef against each other. Baron Disciple member James Highsmith and Disciple co-founder Leonard Longstreet entered Parker High School even though they weren't students. The two spotted Larry Hoover outside of the principal's office, and Highsmith walked past him with a smile as Longstreet told him to shoot. So Highsmith pulled out his .32 caliber pistol and shot Larry Hoover as well as two others nearby. More than that, during the fall of 1968, guns were blazing all over the south side of Chicago as Disciples, Gangsters, and Stones were at each other's throats as bodies were dropping. This led to a temporary truce between the three organizations that didn't last long, but it was an attempt to curtail the several acts of violence on the south side. It's also important to mention that the leadership and founders of these gangs didn't want any more violence and were actually friends. This was the leadership of original Black Peace Stones, Devil's Disciples, and Supreme Gangsters. But they had no control of factions that would act in their own self-interest and start violence with factions of the rival group, starting the gang wars. The leaders and founders themselves weren't interested in fighting. By 1968, the Robert Taylor Homes, a public housing project in the Bronzeville neighborhood on the south side of Chicago, was run by gangs like the Cobra Stones. That wasn't until a 14-year-old Black Disciple heavy hitter named Michael Mickey Bull Johnson moved into the Robert Taylor Homes in 1966 and became one of the first Disciples in the project. After moving in, Johnson led a conquest to take over a large piece of the buildings between 49th and State down to 53rd and State in the Grand Boulevard and Washington Park neighborhoods in 1968. His conquest against the Cobra Stones was a success, and Mickey Bull put the Disciples in the Robert Taylor homes for the first time in history. He then became the leader of all BD operations in those buildings. Then in June of 1969, Larry Hoover finally had enough of the Stones and decided to conference with David Barksdale instead, after Larry Hoover's alliance with Jeff Ford and the Black Peace Stones as allies for a few months had gone sour. The two would eventually hammer out a peace agreement that would see Hoover's Supreme Gangsters merge with the Disciples, forming a street gang conglomerate eventually dubbed the Black Gangster Disciple Nation. And even though this was still just an alliance, it was a combined concept alliance, unlike the one between the Gangsters and the Stones. Despite that, all Disciple and Gangster gangs were housed under the umbrella of Black Gangster Disciples. Many Disciples and Gangsters just considered themselves BGDs or Black Gangster Disciples when the alliance was first established and didn't even refer to themselves as Black Disciples or Gangsters, falling in love with the BGD title in the meantime. Also in June of 1969, the Vice Lords, Black Peace Stones, and BGDs all got together to form a coalition known as the Lords, Stones, and Disciples, or LSD. This was the unity of the gangs formed with the intention of coordinating marches in protest of the government, oppression, and poverty, so for the rest of 1969, the LSD coalition was able to set aside a lot of the gang wars as they marched on City Hall, universities, and other establishments. Until finally in January of 1970, they achieved some success in bringing about the Chicago Plan, which is, quote, an agreement to implement the employment of minorities in Chicago's construction industry. In 1969, the Disciples settled on the farther south side of Chicago as black migration into more white neighborhoods caused outrage, leading to violence and harassment in these changing neighborhoods. The Disciples settled in the Pullman, West Pullman, Riverdale, and Morgan Park communities, and their influence became strong in these neighborhoods. This is also when the Disciples arrived in the Alt-Guild Gardens projects, especially since crime was growing and drug dealers were lurking. They even came to offer protection in the project, but they would end up clashing with the Blackstone Rangers that had arrived around the same time. Despite that, since 1968, David Barksdale had been working with leaders of the Black Peace Stones to solidify several peace treaties, all of which failed. By June of 1970, another weak peace treaty was in effect. However, it was broken on June 7th, 1970, when David Barksdale was shot in his abdomen at a bar in Englewood. The accidental shooters were Black Peace Stones. One of the Stones dropped a rifle and it went off, striking Barksdale. Larry Hoover was also there with Barksdale when the shooting started and acted quickly after he was shot by getting Barksdale into his car. Hoover then raced to St. Bernard's Hospital in Englewood and was credited with saving David Barksdale's life after he suffered an M14 bullet wound in his side that passed into his kidneys, causing permanent damage. Before the 1970s, the Cabrini-Green neighborhood was run by various different gangs with a good number of Cobra Stones and Disciples running some of the buildings. But in the early 1970s, a bid for domination of these projects began and first caught wind in the news when two police officers were shot dead by snipers on the rooftop of one of the project buildings. There was also an existing war between the Black Deuces and Cobra Stones that became so serious that it prompted police to investigate. In 1971, Richard Strong, the Cabrini-Green Disciple founder, started a group called Blacks, which was a civil rights group that aimed to help the people of Cabrini-Green facing injustice, and eventually the Blacks and the Deuces would merge together into the Disciples. Also in the early 1970s, investigations into street gangs using government funding for illegal activities came to a close as they now had evidence to convict high-ranking gang members from the Black Peace Stones. In 1971, numerous heavyweights in the Black Peace Stones were officially charged, and by 1972, their supreme leader, Jeff Fort, was sentenced to 4 years in prison. The investigation, however, didn't stop with the Stones, and investigators went after the Vice Lords, shutting down their legit businesses. Then they aimed their crosshairs at the Black Gangster Disciples. Authorities ended up getting a founding Disciples member to testify before a grand jury against his own organization, but no charges were brought against the Disciples. Despite that, government funding was immediately cut off. However, the same exact money that convicted the Stones somehow didn't get the Disciples convicted, even though both groups were technically mismanaging funds. It just seemed like the government just had it out for the Stones more. Not only that, but the Disciples didn't seek out the money. It was more or less forced on them as equal payment to them as not to favor the Stones. Disciples weren't big with talking to the media and mostly stayed out of the spotlight, unlike the Stones, so perhaps that helped their case and kept them less of a target to the government. But they would have bigger problems to deal with soon, and in 1971, the Disciples began to fall into disorganization and groups of the gang began not honoring the BDGN alliance and even feuded with other Disciple groups. These groups were those that wanted to overthrow Larry Hoover, and there were others that were Disciples that didn't like the gangsters because of the old war with the gang. There were also some groups that had self-interest in rebelling against leadership as a whole. Despite that, a harsh conviction came down on the BGDs in 1973 because on February 26, 1973, Larry Hoover ordered the death of William Young, a 19-year-old drug dealer in the neighborhood that stole drugs and money from the BGDs. A Disciple named Andrew Howard killed him on behalf of Hoover, and it all happened at 68th and Union in the Englewood neighborhood in an alley where Young was shot 6 times in the head. As a result, both Howard and Larry Hoover were arrested and charged with the murder, and by November 5th, 1973, both were sentenced to 150 to 200 years in prison in Statesville Correctional Facility in Crest Hill, Illinois. And as Larry Hoover was now sitting in prison, David Barksdale's health was declining. Since he was shot in 1970, his kidneys needed to be replaced, and his brother was the donor of the kidney he needed. However, David didn't live like he had just gotten a new kidney against doctor's orders, so now his health was declining and his kidneys were slowly shutting down. As a result, on September 2, 1974, David Barksdale died after he succumbed to his illness. After his passing, he was dearly missed, especially by the Supreme Gangster Gangs allied with the BDGN. Most of the disciples were also very mournful and wanted to continue growing a closer unity with the gangsters. But a nasty rumor soon circulated that Larry Hoover thought he was rightfully due to become the new leader of the BDGN, causing some groups within the organization to fight among themselves as some wanted to kill Larry Hoover. Because of this, violence began brewing among groups of Supreme Gangsters and disciples, while the main disciples and main gangsters had to work together to stop this rumor's damage. However, while the rest of the organization was facing turmoil, a high-ranking disciple named Michael Mickey Bull Johnson, who ran the Robert Taylor Homes, was advancing in rank as the top enforcer and was still running the buildings between 49th and 51st Street. He was put in prison in 1973 for manslaughter charges, then was released in 1975. Now, by the summer of 1976, he had enough power to order jobs he needed done. In July 1976, a man named Todd White had stopped in the Robert Taylor Homes by the 4844 South State Street building. White wasn't known around there and was wearing fancy clothes and drove a nice car. Mickey and his friend Thaddeus Terrell saw the man and took the opportunity to rob him, so while Johnson approached White, Terrell walked up and put a pistol to his head. When White tried to run, Johnson ordered Terrell to shoot him, killing him on the spot. Afterwards, both Terrell and Johnson were charged with murder. Even though Michael was still on parole for the 1973 manslaughter, he was only given 5 years for the murder and was back out in the Robert Taylor Homes by 1977. Also in 1976, the chaos within the Black Gangster Disciples was put to a halt when a founding Disciples member named Dirk Ackland took back control of the chaos on the Disciples side and wrote a constitution with bylaws for the Black Disciples, which also allowed Larry Hoover to gain control of the Supreme Gangsters once again. This was seen as the birth of the Black Disciples street gang in prison, but it was really more of a regaining of control by Ackland and others. Larry Hoover and Ackland were even able to work together to bring back peace, however, it wouldn't last. Because shortly after Dirk Ackland organized the Black Disciples, an immediate civil war began between the Black Disciples and gangsters, as some gangsters considered the new Black Disciples restructuring as a breakaway from the BDGN. In the prison system, BGDs and BDs were at each other's throats with no resolve, and there was basically chaos everywhere. During the Civil War of sorts, Mickey Bull was incarcerated again in the late 70s. Before he went to prison, however, he managed to convince several members of the Mickey Cobras from a 49th and State Robert Taylor building to become Black Disciples. Not long after, in April of 1978, Larry Hoover showed power in Statesville Prison when he got together with members of the Black Gangster Disciples, Black Souls, Vice Lords, Black Peacestones, Mickey Cobras, and organized a work stoppage strike against foul food that was being served to inmates, making them sick. During this strike, Larry Hoover also got together with leaders of several rival and allied organizations from all over the city and the prison. Not that they showed unity by assembling the work stoppage, the unity was taken further, or perhaps it was arranged while creating the stoppage in the first place. Regardless of when exactly it happened, the creation of the Folk and People Alliances happened in April of 1978, stemming from his work stoppage protest. And this organizing led to another big sit-down with members of allied and enemy gangs to discuss hope to control the gang wars in the prison system. Larry Hoover proposed two rival coalitions that all major gangs would follow that could be controlled by negotiations between the leaders of each of these coalitions, just like how the Italian Mafia organizes their wars between families. For Larry's own organization and allies, he assembled the Folk Alliance, which united the Black Gangster Disciples, Black Disciples, Ashland Vikings, Satan Disciples, Maniac Latin Disciples, Spanish Cobras, Imperial Gangsters, Latin Eagles, Simon City Royals, and Insane Popes to have complete peace among each other and work together. The opposition agreed to this and assembled their own coalition called the People Alliance. The People Alliance was assembled by the Black Peacestones, Vice Lords, and Latin Kings as they allied with the Latin Counts, Mickey Cobras, Four Corner Hustlers, Spanish Lords, and Puerto Rican Stones. This became a very effective coalition in the prison system and drastically reduced violence between gangsters and BDs, which in turn kept the BDGN alliance going. Around this time, members of the Folks and People's Alliance were beginning the scattered settlement of BGDs on the west side of Chicago, finally coming to fruition when they settled in the Henry Horner Projects. Gangs had always been active in the Horners, but never took power and created such significant action in the late 70s, and this is when the BGDs became one of the powers in the Henry Horner Projects. There was a solid peace between the Supreme Gangsters and the BDs from late 1978 until late 1979, until a flare-up happened in Statesville Prison, but got patched up only to return a year later. In late 1980, another flare began again and heightened on January 29th, 1981, when an incident happened at Statesville after groups of Black Disciples became aggressive with gangsters. In Statesville Prison, Unit B, Black Disciple gang member George Bailey resided in this unit along with members of the gangsters. Bailey was a lot of privileged ditty known as cell house help, which allowed inmates to roam freely in the cell block without cuffs or escorted by guards, according to court documents. BGD leader Ernest Wilson disapproved of Black Disciples being cell house leaders and declared that all BDs should either resign from this position or flip to becoming part of the gangsters. Wilson even held a meeting in that unit for BGDs and BDs BDs to attend to lay out the rules. Three BDs, including Bailey, were in attendance, and two of these three BDs resigned from their position and listened to Wilson, according to court documents, but Bailey wouldn't drop his position. Wilson then had a meeting with a BD leader named Dirk Ackland to express his dissatisfaction with the revolt from the BDs, but apparently it got nowhere, so Wilson picked a fistfight with Bailey that got Wilson thrown in segregation. Then on January 29th, he was returned to his unit with fellow BGDs to plot the murder of Bailey. The BGDs obtained an aluminum bat, which ended up in the hands of a member named Fred Collins. Later that day, Collins struck Bailey in the head with the bat repeatedly, which caused Bailey to be hospitalized, and on February 5th, 1981, Bailey died according to court documents. Also in 1981, Mickey Bull Johnson was released from prison and given a promotion to bishop, a very high-ranking position within the organization. After his promotion, he was like a prophet that informed all disciples that they were just black disciples, and it was no longer the name of the Alliance, and all the gangs that had been under it were only to be known as black disciples. All those that were gangsters or were disciples that represented the BGD banner for over a decade would become part of the Black Gangster Disciples gang. This is how the gangsters ended up being the larger force on the streets because of all the many disciple groups that loved the BGD banner. These new ways and the removal of the BGD and Alliance brought great peace between both sides in 1981 as well as for years to come, as the Folk Alliance still bound them together and allowed them more dependence from each other. Mickey Johnson made sure all of the Stateway Gardens became BGD and even convinced most of the Dell Vikings to flip to BDs, making the BDs have a strong presence in the Stateway Gardens. In 1982, Mickey Bull and the BDs also took over the long-standing Mickey Cobra buildings near 45th and State, which left the Cobras with only the Hole, a set of three buildings from 53rd and State down to 54th and State. Not long after, the wars between the BDs and BGDs also came to an end after Dirk Ackland was released from prison and disapproved of how powerful a BD named Jerome Freeman had become. As a result of this war, relations between the BDs and BGDs were smoother over, as these two BD factions were focused on removing each other until Dirk Ackland's BDs went back to the rest of the BDs in 1983 or 84. In 1984, Mickey Bull was promoted again to the rank of minister, which gave him his own dynasty. Being a minister was a very high rank that usually no one received in the organization, because having a dynasty means you control an entire area of the city. Mickey's dynasty was the entire south side of Chicago. Anywhere from Brownsville down to the Wild 100s was controlled by Johnson, while his main territory that he directly supervised daily was still the Robert Taylor homes. But Mickey wasn't the only one enjoying good times around this point, as in the early to mid-1980s, relations between BDs and BGDs was at its best point, especially now that Folk Nation rules and regulations reached the streets. Now both gangs would often team up against rivals like the Vice Lords, Black Peastones, and Mickey Cobras. However, the crack cocaine epidemic of the late 1980s caused relations between the two gangs to completely break down, mainly because of the crack trade in the Englewood neighborhood. Beginning in 1987, fierce competition and intense gang wars erupted in the high-rise public housing projects citywide. Gangs began muscling in on these buildings and began setting up their own security as they walked through the hallways armed with automatic weapons and shotguns as they patted down residents and imposed curfews. The Englewood neighborhood is Chicago's most violent and most impoverished neighborhood, and just like the high-rise housing project, the Englewood community became a hotbed for crack cocaine users, which made distribution a huge money-making commodity. The BDs had a long-rooted history in the Englewood community, as the largest piece of their story started on these streets and they felt ownership of this neighborhood. Black Peastones and Mickey Cobras were never welcomed by BDs in this neighborhood, but now the BDs' biggest ally, the Black Gangster Disciples, were muscling in on too many BD drug spots because they felt that they were entitled due to being the larger organization and sitting at the top of the Folk Nation Alliance. As a result, BDs felt disrespected from their BGD brethren, and by 1989, the tempers began to flare. That same year, a high-ranking BD named Jerome Freeman ended up back in prison on felony drug charges, and soon after, all hell was about to break loose on the streets of Englewood. This was the beginning of a severe conflict between the BDs and BGDs. In the summer of 1991, some GDs were ready for the BDs, but Mickey Bull was holding relations together between the two organizations, and this was a threat to GDs that didn't want to be controlled this way. Bull wasn't expecting GDs to come after him because there was no full-fledged war yet, but he was also untouchable, and many BDs and GDs feared and respected him. But despite the fact that Mickey Bull was a legend on the streets of Chicago, he wasn't untouchable, and in August of 1991, members of the Gangster's Disciples shot him dead on the street, which caused an immediate violent backlash from the BDs that became legendary. Payback had to be harsh for this, and on August 7th, Englewood became a war zone. By August of 1991, during one of the hottest and driest summers in Chicago history, the feuding between GDs and BDs was taken to a new level because of the death of Mickey Bull, and on August 7th, 1991, the Black Disciples murdered three members of the Gangster Disciples in cold blood. Afterwards, between 1991 and 94, the South Side of Chicago was in a state of intense warfare between the two gangs. It wasn't until 1994 when heavyweight BD named Marvell Thompson stepped in after he was cleared on a murder charge that the violence between the two sides settled down for a short time. But in 1994, the war became permanent between GDs and BDs, as Black Gangster Disciples were now officially known as Gangster Disciples. As the 1990s progressed, more and more Gangster Disciple gang members flipped to Black Disciples. A lot of this flipping was driven by BD drug dealing factions offering lower taxes on drug profits and the GDs. These new members were young and eager, like Robert Yummy Sandifer, an 11-year-old who had been recruited into the BDs in 1994, but this wasn't his first foray into crime, as he had been stealing cars and breaking into houses since he was 8 years old. Law enforcement couldn't put him in juvenile detention because he was too young, and he wouldn't go to any more foster homes because he was too violent. In August 1994, the Black Disciples had him kill some rival GDs. Yummy blasted a 9mm pistol into a crowd of kids and accidentally killed a 14-year-old named Siobhan Dean. The murder brought a lot of public outcry and attention to the Black Disciples, but more than that, the BDs feared that this young of a member would snitch if he were caught by the police. So the BDs sent out two brothers named Derek and Craig Hardaway to get rid of Sandifer. The two lured Yummy into an underpass where they shot him twice in the back of the head. The brothers were later convicted of murder, and more undesired attention was brought upon the Black Disciples despite their efforts to cover up the gang's involvement. However, the hit on Robert Sandifer wasn't the only high-profile murder around that time, and in January 1996, a gangster disciple governor named Chuck Dorsey was shot and killed on the streets. After this happened, the GDs and BDs had a meeting at 38th and Cottage Grove in the Bronzeville area, likely due to the fact that the GDs and BDs were allies at 38th and Ellis, as well as around the Ida B. Wells and Madden Park Projects area. The BDs grew incredibly in the 1990s and 2000s as they climbed up to becoming one of the top 10 largest gangs in Chicago, with members in other states and scattered all over the suburbs. Violent gang wars erupted in the Robert Taylor and Stateway Gardens projects as gunfire echoed night and day, mainly between BDs and GDs. Both gangs exercised majority control of both public housing high-rise complexes, and other gangs had a very small piece of these buildings. Both gangs experienced majority control of both public housing high-rise complexes, and other gangs had a very small piece of these buildings. Therefore, the BDs and GDs were each other's biggest competition in the projects. The BDs showed their muscle against a larger enemy and showed a relentless pursuit of violence against their foes, which gained them a massive reputation, causing many starry-eyed young black youths to join the gang as they grew to over 6,000 members. In 1991, the Black Disciples took over the 16-story high-rise Randolph Tower Housing Authority complex located in the Washington Park neighborhood, which was located at 6217 South Calumet Avenue. This large building the BDs nicknamed the Castle, where they set up a complex $45,000 to $300,000 a day crack cocaine and heroin operation in the tower. This operation was incredibly complex, as money from drug profits was even laundered and invested into an Atlanta nightclub, apartment buildings, and even into the rap label MOB. Despite that, or possibly even because of it, the late 1990s and early 2000s was really the first time that the Black Disciples faced massive federal prosecution efforts by the U.S. government. To start, in 1998, a number of BD leaders were arrested for federal charges. Some of them, like Robert Allen Jr. and Charles Jackson, agreed to cooperate with federal authorities. Then in 1999, some 21 members of the BD gang were indicted for federal drug charges in Chicago. The federal authorities were able to get a large number of indictments due to the prominent help from informants within the leadership of the BD gang. A couple years down the line, in the spring of 2004, another massive federal prosecution was launched against leaders of the Black Disciples, eventually resulting in the indictment of BD higher-up Marvell Thompson and 41 others in upper management. This was designed to disrupt a $500,000-a-day drug-dealing operation run by the BDs. This new prosecution effort focused also on some of the business enterprises used as money-laundering facilities for the gang, including a rap music studio, a construction company, and rental properties. And it's likely due to this heat from law enforcement that the Black Disciples have been pretty quiet since then, but that's not to say they're still not active, because they are incredibly active in present day. They're still heavy operators in Chicago's drug dealing and illegal gambling trades, and are still responsible for murders nearly every year. From the early 2000s really up until present day, the BDs have been locked in a deadly gang war with their rivals, the Gangster Disciples, which we'll probably talk about in another episode. But that's really all I have for you guys today. I hope everybody thoroughly enjoyed today's episode and tunes back in next week for episode 30. If you enjoyed the show and would like to support the podcast, it'd be great if you could follow, like, and share the podcast, as well as the show's Instagram and Twitter pages at The Black Hand Pod. But with that said, I hope everybody has a great rest of their day. This is your host, Bliss Green, signing out.